Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
I'm Jason Oppenheim, and this is my twin brother, Brett. Together, we built and own the Oppenheim Group Broker Chair. Anyone who's buying or selling in the Sunset Strip in the Hollywood Hills calls us.
Behind those doors is all of the kick-ass women that make this brokerage what it is.
We're a badass crew to hang out with. Takes a special type.
Welcome to the team, Chriselle.
Thank you, guys.
She can sit on the floor until she proves herself.
It was super rude.
You have to prove that you're serious about your job like the rest of us.
Christina's the one that Jason and Brett kind of warned me about.
That'll be interesting to see how she gets along with everybody. AKA me.
Christine is the boss, by the way, in Selling Sunset, if you watch it. That, of course, is the Oppenheim brothers. And we are naturally talking about Selling Sunset because, for me, it was definitely the Netflix show of 2020. It's actually the first reality TV programme I ever really watched, but it's brilliant. It's people selling these ridiculous multi-million euro mansions in Beverly Hills in Los Angeles, and you know they're complaining because it only has like 7 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms and 1 swimming pool and no tennis court, and it's just the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen, but it's absolutely brilliant and it's very easy watching. But I was one of the 37 million people who really just kind of tuned in to Netflix last year, naturally during lockdown. We want to know, did you binge your way through any box sets, any Netflix TV shows that you might want to recommend to us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon? Broadcaster Paul Ryder is here with us on the show. Paul, it's hardly surprising, given we were in a global pandemic, that 37 million extra people downloaded Netflix's streaming services last year, is it?
Of course not. Like, that's all we could do. All we could do was sit at home and watch Netflix. And that's 37 million people, which now brings it to 203 million worldwide, who got best into the likes of Selling Sunset over the last 12 months. And it's to no surprise, because like I said, it was all we had to do was bake banana bread or watch Netflix. So we were stuck at home and getting ourselves stuck into the lives of other people. Selling Sunset as well is one really, really popular kind of example, considering that nobody really watched the first season, which kicked off back in March 2019. And it was only because you were stuck in your own house watching people walk through other people's houses. And if anything, we're nosy. People are nosy. Yeah. We want to see the gorgeous things that we might not have in our house, but we can see in other people's houses in the glamorous surroundings of LA. And of course, you know, attach that with Chriselle, Christine, Maya and the Oppenheim brothers and all the drama that's going on between there.
That's
and
fab.
You're kind of hooked.
Completely. It's high drama and it's just such easy watching when they're giving out about, you know, it only being a 5-bed, you know, 6-bath, 10 million
and
euro house in Beverly Hills.
Trying to sell it for 74 million. Yeah, it's just, you know, first world problems. And I suppose going from that drama onto the biggest drama of what was last year, which is The Crown, which hit its fourth season. And the funny thing, figures-wise, 21 million homes in the first 4 weeks, which is a 40% rise on the previous season of the exact same period. Obviously, it follows the political rivalries and the romances of Queen Elizabeth II and to her reign and the events that kind of shaped the second half of the 20th century. Starring, which we've seen the Queen be Claire Foy, Olivia Colman, and now moving into Imelda Staunton, who will finish off this popular series.
Mm. I actually was a huge fan of The Crown too. Followed it here from the start of the fourth season. We actually had Ciara Kelly here, had the Crown cast, the podcast, so we'd good fun doing that or recording the podcast with Ciara while we were watching the series. But like, I know you work, you know, in the industry, Paul, but do you think we're a lot of people just, was it turning to streaming services? Like, why did traditional TV not pick up during this period?
I think it's because we're so used to what traditional TV is. I think it is that safety net that we can always go back to. I know we've discussed our soaps and Sex and the City in previous, and we always have those and the old reliable programs that we have on television. But Netflix and our streaming services that we have over the last kind of couple of years, they're bringing us the new content. And also, they're bringing us the new content that we can't go to the cinema and see. We can't go to the theatre to see these new things. So the likes of streaming services are bringing this right inside to our homes and to our families. And it's another thing as a family we can do. It's not so much, oh, you shouldn't be squared on the TV for so long. It's because it's something that we can all do together, especially in these tough times. it's our escapism to just sit, watch and relax.
What about the other streaming platforms, Paul, though? Like, obviously, Netflix, you know, really excelled. We're talking about 37 million more people in 2020. But the likes of Prime and Now TV, how do they fare it?
Prime and Now TV, they're great. Like, there's a massive increase across it in general. Do you know, the sort of way everyone is going to benefit from this. But Netflix was always the one that you got stuck into. It is that all reliable. But, you know, you've got the likes of Grey's Anatomy, which is on Amazon Prime. You've got Real Housewives of Beverly Everything, which is on Hey You. I don't know whether you've gotten bent into the Real Housewives. But
no, not yet.
What is wrong? Are you okay? Like, you literally... So myself and my partner, we started Real Housewives of Beverly Hills originally on Netflix, but they only gave us season 1 and 2, which then moved us across to Hey You to binge watch 10 series in probably a matter of minutes. And it's just that escapism reality television. And it just goes to show you that every streaming service can bring you something different. And what's funny is that the likes of Netflix and the streaming services, they're very careful as to not release their figures too much unless they've had a really, really big success. And I think that's a bit of a strange move. But now that we're seeing these figures increase, I think we're going to see much more transparency in them talking about, you know, what each series has done.
Yeah, it must be really key for the streaming platforms, Paul, to make sure that the content that they're putting, you know, out or putting on the platform for the likes of you and I and everybody else here listening to us today to watch is, does it have to be their own homegrown content? Like, how difficult is it to get that right?
I think that obviously, you know, at the start of this, it was just a case of, right, let's see what happens. But over the years, because it has become such a massive thing, that they're really kind of honing in on the viewer. Like, Netflix have said that they've got 500 new productions coming to us in 2021. That's a massive revenue on new content and on the jobs that we've lost in this industry over the last kind of couple of the last year. So I suppose it's moving with the times. Everything is moving with the times, and on all our streaming services are realizing the value to what they have in this industry.
Look, maybe just on a final point, Paul, is there anything you think that we should watch, that we should tune into? Like, as I said, I'm not a reality TV person. Selling Sunset now was my first experience. I'm quite particular about the rubbish that I watch. So is there any good recommendations?
I think if you like The Crown, you're going to like Bridgerton if you haven't already.
Oh, really? I haven't started that.
Now, I didn't start it for the pure reason that I didn't want to be the sheep like everybody else had done it. And then, of course, I tuned into one episode and it was gone in seconds. And also, especially for you and me who love the cheap reality vibe, Bling Empire is another one for the Selling Sunset.
You see, I like a drama, like a crime thriller drama, legal drama, that sort of stuff. That's kind of where I usually...
And the great thing is the BBC have obviously given over some of their stuff to Netflix as well, and there's loads of stuff like that that you can get stuck into. Night Stalker is something I finished yesterday, which is a bit grim and a bit tough to watch at times, but a very, very interesting story. They're really, really good. Look at the Don't F with Cats that kicked off 2020. They're going behind the scenes of some of the biggest crimes that we may not have heard too much about, but they give you the all intents and purposes of what actually happened. So there's some good content for everybody.
That sounds
look, there's a reason why 37 million people are watching.
Definitely. Sounds right up my street. Paul Ryder, broadcaster, thanks for being with us here on Lunchtime Live today. I don't know if you have any lockdown box sets, fines that got you through the pandemic over the past couple of months. What was your top Netflix show of 2020? You can let us know here today, 53106. Joseph has gotten in touch to say the best box set, The Affair, 5 seasons, 11 episodes, 50 hours, watched it over Christmas and the New Year. David in Westmeath rewatched The Sopranos again. He says it's still amazing. You can keep them coming into us here today on the News Talk text line.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.